Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the gift of salvation by the blood of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who teaches us, who brings to remembrance all the things that you said unto us in the Word. And he teaches us, Father, he expounds on them. We thank you, Father, for that. And today we pray that your Holy Spirit will be here to teach us. He will give us light, Father, and he will give us understanding. We ask for this, precious Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Yeah, welcome your neighbor. Yes, welcome your neighbor as you give Teddy a very big hand clap. Thank you so much, Teddy. Yes, we appreciate your work, your ministry unto the Lord. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, today we might read a lot, okay, of scripture. Okay, so I'm telling you in advance so that you know. All right. This is the last Bible study of the year. And it is the last Bible study on eschatology. So since it is the last, it is going to feel like the last. Glory be to God. Amen. 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 You're ready? Yes. Yeah, I hope it won't be like the other Bible study, the first one on eschatology, where I said too much, and I wonder, how much people understood. But hopefully it gave them things to think about and to go, to research about them. But Teddy says that she learned something, the first Bible study. Last week, most people said it was wonderful, it was clear. I don't know whether it will be the same today. Glory be to God. Okay? We are starting. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. From verse 29, this is when the rapture happens. Jesus said, Matthew 24, from verse 29, Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Okay? So that gathering of the saints, okay, is the rapture. All right? And when does it happen? Immediately after the tribulation. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Okay? So this is also talking about the rapture. Okay? Jesus tells us when it will happen. He says it will happen after the tribulation. Okay? And Paul tells us the same thing here. But he adds something which I wanted to ask to read you know, the last sentence in verse 17, which says, and we shall always be with the Lord. Okay? Jesus said we shall be gathered. Okay? And Paul says we shall be forever with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, something I've thought about. Verse 16, okay, talks about the dead in Christ rising first. You've seen it? It says that the dead in Christ, okay, will rise first. Then we who are still alive, okay, but we have our faith in the Lord, will be caught up also. Okay, so who are the dead in Christ? Okay? Of course, they are the dead in Christ, isn't it? Those who believe in Jesus, those who believe in Jesus and they died. Okay? I believe this also includes the saints who died before the Lord, before Jesus came and died for us. Okay, people like Abraham, you know, Abraham, all those guys, okay, they believed in Christ, in the coming Messiah. They believed that he would come and die for them, okay, but they died before Jesus came. All right? So they are included here among the dead in Christ. Okay? Now, so we shall be caught up, okay? And we shall go to heaven, as we saw last week. Okay? Now, let us read again what we read last week concerning what we shall be up to in heaven and the things which follow thereafter. Okay? Revelations chapter 19. Revelations chapter 19. From verse 6. John says that, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Who is his wife? The church. Okay? And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Okay, the righteous acts, okay, people lived righteously, okay, and that is the clothing they are going to be clothed with as the bride. Okay, so this is happening in heaven, okay, after we have been raptured. Okay, this happens. Verse 9, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Alright? Okay? Our desire is that we might be part of that marriage supper. Okay? That we might be part of that bride. Okay? How do we achieve that? We have to make sure that we have righteous acts. Okay? Alright? Now, verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. This is Jesus, Okay, John wrote somewhere else, he said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So this is the Lord, Jesus Christ. Okay, all right, verse 11, and the armies in heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Last week we said these are the saints, you and I. Yeah? Okay? Remember the marriage supper has happened. Okay? The bride, it says it, the bride is clothed in verse 8. The bride is arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. All right? You remember? And then this verse we have just read, 14, it says that the armies in heaven, okay, were clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Okay? So that is a bride of Christ. Okay? The marriage supper has happened. And now Jesus is coming back to the earth. Okay? And that bride, you and I, we come back with him. Okay? Still dressed what? In fine linen, clean and bright. Okay? Teddy, you remember that? From last week, okay? Alright? Yes, and we are riding our white horses. Glory be to God. Okay? Sam, you didn't whatever your wife a white horse at what? Munyonyo. Okay? Taina Kuba Anja, you just show her the scripture. Alright? She will get one free of charge. Verse 15. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Okay? He's coming back to unleash wrath. Eh? Okay? And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is Jesus. Eh? Okay? Then verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Okay? This is not the marriage supper. The marriage supper already happened in heaven. Now this supper of the great God is happening, is going to happen on earth. Okay? And it is for birds. Okay? Verse 18. Okay? 17, he's calling the birds. Then in 18 he says, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. Okay? Those will be the people who will be involved in that war in Jerusalem. Eh? Okay? They are going to be killed and the birds are going to have supper. Okay? Verse 19. And I saw the beast. Remember the beast? The Antichrist. Eh? And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, Jesus, who sat on the horse, and against his army. Okay? Which army is this, Teddy? You. Glory be to God. The church. Alright? So the Antichrist is going to try and make war against you when you're coming back from heaven. Then the beast, the Antichrist, was captured, and with him, the false prophet, whom many believe is this current pope, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest, okay, the armies or the Antichrist, were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of Jesus, who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Okay? The birds had their supper. Okay? Chapter 20, we continue, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old who is called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. All right? But after these things, he must be released for a little while. Verse 4. And I saw thrones. Okay? These thrones he saw. Okay? It is talking about the beginning of the 1,000 years. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. And judgment was committed to them. Who are the them? The them is you, eh? Okay? Including all the other saints, eh? Okay? Who will have died in the tribulation, eh? As it says here, John says, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned for 1,000 years. Glory be to God. Amen. Thrones, eh? Okay? The Lord wants every one of us, eh, to have a throne, to reign with him. Eh? That is why he made sure that John writes these things, so that you know, eh, what is there for you and I. Glory be to God. Okay? So, in this world right now, you should endeavor to be faithful. Eh? Okay? And don't fall away from the Lord. Be faithful to what you're called to do, what he tells you, and don't fall away from him. Eh? Okay? In those 1,000 years, okay, you'll be among those who will sit on thrones, reigning with him. Glory be to God. Amen? Now, in those 1,000 years, okay, you are going to be, we, the bride of Christ, will be already, we shall have incorruptible bodies, okay, because our bodies will be changed, eh? Okay, when we are raptured, and we shall return, eh? Okay? So when we return, okay, after that war, eh? Okay, we shall live in what the Bible calls a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? New heaven and new earth. Okay? Second Peter. Hallelujah. Second Peter chapter 3. From verse 3 it says that scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You see, where is the promise of his coming? Okay? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Ah, yes, he said soon, now 2,000 years, soon. What is soon? The Bible is calling those guys scoffers. All right? Now let's jump to verse 10. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Okay? Teddy, you've seen it? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief. Okay? Now, I will tell you that this day of the Lord is when we return with Jesus. Okay? Fight that war. And then it says, in that day, the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Then it says, verse 11, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Okay? Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Glory be to God. Okay? So, this burning of the heavens and the earth, okay, it is supposed to result into new heavens and a new earth. Okay? So this means when the Bible says that there's going to be new heavens and a new earth, it doesn't mean that there's going to be a brand new planet called Earth. That this planet called Earth is going to be completely destroyed. Okay? And then a new planet comes. Okay? New means renewing or making fresh. You understand? Renewing, like renovating. And how is it going to be renewed or renovated? It's here. It is going to be done with fire. All right? With fire. Glory. And now, the heavens here, it means the skies. Glory be to God. Okay? The earth means the ground. All right? The ground. It's going to be renovated. All the pollution, you understand? All the curse on the earth, on the ground, okay? All those things are going to be what? Burned up. They're going to be renewed. They're made fresh. Glory be to God. And so, we shall be dwelling in a new earth, okay? An earth, okay, in which corruption has all been burnt up. New, brand new. Not brand new, but renovated, renewed. Glory be to God. Amen? Okay? That is what, and it says we should be looking forward to this. Hallelujah. Amen? And Peter is emphasizing the fact, okay, that we should live holy lives. Okay? We should live in godliness. Because in the new heaven and the new earth in which the kingdom is going to be, there will dwell no unrighteousness. He says, in this, that is where righteousness dwells. You get it? Okay? But I want you to know that there is nothing like a brand new planet. Okay? When he says new earth, okay? There is no brand new planet. It is this one which is going to be renovated, renewed. Okay? How? With what? With fire. Glory be to God. Okay? Which either starts or it is after that war. Okay? When all the enemies of God, those armies of the Antichrist have been destroyed. Okay? The devil is bound. Okay? Into the bottomless pit. The Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into hell. Into fire. Okay? Then the thing is made brand new. Okay, a new earth without the devil, okay, without the curse upon the earth, without all the effects of pollution and destruction of the earth. Brand new. Glory be to God. Okay, that is the earth in which we are going to live. Amen. Amen. Verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Glory be to God. Looking forward to the new earth, okay? He says, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Why? Because, okay, those who practice lawlessness are not entering the kingdom. Glory be to God. When you understand all these things, the Bible becomes very easy. It's like all the apostles were saying the same thing in different words. What Paul said is what Peter said, is what John said. Okay? It is what Revelation said. But most importantly, it is what Jesus said. It is the same stuff. Glory be to God. Okay? So, here Peter, instead of saying that those who practice lawlessness will not enter the kingdom, okay, he says it in another way. Okay? Because he knows the kingdom is going to be within the new heavens and the new earth. And then he says that in that new earth, righteousness dwells. You understand? Eh? Then he says that be careful. Eh? Okay? Look forward to these things. How? Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Glory be to God. All right? Same thing, isn't it? Okay? Now, Revelation chapter 21. Okay? I told you today we are going to read a lot. This is the last Bible study of the year. The last Bible study on eschatology. And it is a Bible study. Glory be to God. It is a what? A Bible study. So we have to study the Bible by opening it. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? Peter knew it and John saw it. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. But now you know that it is not a brand new planet. It is a renewed. Eh? Renewed how? By fire. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Glory be to God. Many, like 3 years ago, okay, I read some guy who explained this of no more sea by saying, you see, because the renovation is going to happen by fire. All right? So all the water in the earth is going to what? Evaporate. That is why there is no what? More sea. But we're going to find somewhere else where it talks about a sea. Okay, two seas. In the new heavens and the new earth. Okay? Okay? We shall get there. But that means that this is not... This sea, this is symbolic. Alright? Symbolic, probably, and I believe it is symbolic. You remember when we read, studied about the Antichrist last week, in Revelation 13, it says that he came out of the sea, the beast came out of the sea. Okay, so the sea must be, here, it must be, symbolizing like the evil from which the Antichrist, the man of sin, from which he comes. Okay? And in this new heavens and the new earth, that sea, that source of evil is no longer there. Do you understand? And Peter said, okay, the new earth, righteousness dwells in it. There is no unrighteousness. Okay? So this is what the sea here symbolizes. Because I'm going to show you somewhere else where there was two seas actually. Okay? The sea on the east, which is the Dead Sea, and on the west, which is the Mediterranean. We shall see that as we read. Glory be to God. Okay? Verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. All right? So we have the new heavens, the skies. All right? We have the new earth, the ground. And then there is the new Jerusalem. Okay? Coming from heaven. This one is real new. It is not a renewed Jerusalem. This one is new because you see, it is coming from heaven. Glory be to God. Okay? Alright? However, the old Jerusalem will still exist, will still be there. This will be a spiritual Jerusalem. Alright? But it is going to be seen and people will live there. Okay? You remember, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that is a city that Abraham was looking for. Okay? You remember, the Lord said, you know, leave your country, go to a place that I'll show you. Okay? And he reached the physical place. Okay? But the Bible says in Hebrews that actually Abraham was looking for a city, okay, whose builder and maker is God. All right? So that even when he reached that land, okay, what we call the promised land, okay, he pitched tents. Just tents, because he knew this is not the real thing. He knew this is a temporary, that's why they pitched tents. Okay? It says that he was looking for a city, all right, whose builder and maker is God. Glory be to God. Okay? And somewhere in the same chapter, Hebrews 11, it says that, you know, God has prepared for them that city. Okay? Then in Hebrews 12, it says, okay, to you, who is a Christian, it says that you have come, okay, to Mount Zion, okay, a heavenly city, and it says with Jerusalem. Glory be to God. Okay, but you are here in Kampala. Okay, Chiwatule, the city of Chiwatule. Okay, okay, but he says you have come to the heavenly with Jerusalem. You see, to the city of God, you know, that's what it says. Okay, now that city which is in heaven, to which you have come, which Abraham was looking for, it is coming down. Glory be to God. When? At the start of the millennium. But the old one, the physical one, or the natural one, will exist. So there's going to be two cities at that time. There's going to be the natural one, okay, and then there's going to be the heavenly one. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, Sam, you're an engineer, okay, so, maybe it's easier for you to figure out how those two will come together. Okay? But they are going to have in this city, okay, the one which came down from heaven, John said there was no temple. He saw no temple. Okay? Now when you read Ezekiel 47 and 46, for him he saw a temple in Jerusalem in the millennium. Okay, so that means, okay, they were talking about two different Jerusalems. Hallelujah. Okay, the purpose of this Bible study today, it is to just give you things to go and what? And think about and study. All right? So anyway, here it says, verse 21, Revelations 21, verse 2, then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Okay? Verse 10, Revelations 21. He says that, then here, an angel carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Okay? Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Glory be to God. Verse 14. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Glory be to God. And it's a beautiful city, eh? All right? Then in verse 21 it says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Glory be to God. This is the Jerusalem from above. Glory be to God. Okay? And the Bible says this is the city that Abraham was looking for. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Okay? And it says that you have also come to that city. Glory be to God. Okay? Now, it is coming down on the earth in the millennium. Okay? You are the one who one time asked me about the God, the streets of God. They are here. Okay? They are coming. Okay? But they will start from Jerusalem. And as the years progress, they will reach the other what? The other parts of the world. Glory be to God. Okay? Okay? And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. I told you Ezekiel saw a temple. In fact, he gave its measurements. Eh? In Ezekiel 46 and 47, he gave measurements of that temple in Jerusalem. But John said, for me, I saw no temple. Okay? That means, okay, there are going to be two Jerusalems. A natural one and a spiritual one. You and I are going to be part of the new Jerusalem which is coming out of heaven. Glory be to God. Okay? If you don't fall away from the Lord, if you don't practice lawlessness, hallelujah. All right? Okay? Verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Hallelujah. Okay? Now this is really what? These are the things that we look forward to. A city with no need of the sun, no need of the moon, no need of these lights. When it is the glory of God, okay, giving the light. Hallelujah. And the nations of those who are saved. Okay? The nations of those who are saved, basically those who are saved, okay, shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth, okay, shall bring their glory and honor into it. Okay, what is their glory and honor? Basically wealth. Okay, people will travel from Egypt, from Uganda. Okay, and of course it has to be those who are saved, because people who are not holy cannot enter that city. Okay, it is written somewhere, they can't. All right, so not everyone is going to be in Jerusalem. Okay, and not everyone is going to be in the what? Because remember, when we are raptured, there are some people who will stay around, isn't it? Okay? Even when we return, okay, to fight with the Lord in that war, okay, not every human being is going to die. Okay? Some people will remain alive. Okay? And we shall be with them in the millennium. Eh? Okay? Those are the guys, actually, they are going to produce kids. Eh? Okay? They will get kids. Eh? But if their kid dies at 100 years, they say, Oman Omtafude. You understand? Eh? Okay? So anyway, people will bring gifts into Jerusalem. Verse 25, its gates shall not be shut. at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. Glory be to God. The new Jerusalem. Glory be to God. Amen. These are the things, okay, we're supposed to make sure we are a part of, okay? And we have a few years for this time to come, okay? So we can hold on by the grace of God, okay? All right? So we have finished verse 27. Let's jump into chapter 22. John says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Okay? Proceeding from where? The throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, Ezekiel, for him, he saw a river flowing from the temple. Flowing from the what? The temple. But John says, for me, I saw no temple. Okay? But he saw a river flowing from the throne of God. Maybe engineers, or guys who do, you can help us now understand. So my thinking is probably, so there's this, the spiritual Jerusalem, okay, which has come from heaven, okay, and some, in a certain way, it is interposed on the natural one. In the spiritual, that is where God dwells, okay, so that's where his throne is, okay, and there is a river of water, so probably, it looks like it flows into the natural Jerusalem, which has the physical temple, which Ezekiel saw. And that water, okay, from the spiritual one, okay, gets into the physical temple and it flows out. You understand? You try and imagine these things, engineers. But there are going to be two Jerusalems. One is spiritual and it is coming. It is not something that we cannot be seen. You understand? It will be seen. It will be on the earth. Yet at the same time, there will be a natural one also. Okay? But of course, the spiritual one will be like the greatest, of course. That's where all authority will dwell. Hallelujah. And the Bible says you are going to be in it. Glory be to God. Amen. In the spiritual one, there was no temple. Okay? In the physical one, there was a temple. Think about these things. Hallelujah. Okay? So, we are on 22. So, we have read verse 1. Okay, then it says, in the middle of his street, of that river, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, And Ezekiel saw that tree of life also, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Okay? Ezekiel actually said, the leaves were for food and for medicine. Same thing, John just said healing, But Ezekiel also said food. Okay? So it seems like this river must be coming from the spiritual one, the throne. Then it gets into the physical temple, which is in the old Jerusalem. Okay, and then it what? Flows in the unnatural, and there are trees on either side with fruit, okay, and leaves, which are for the healing of the nations. Glory be to God. And verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. Who are they? It's you, eh? Okay. You will see his face, and his name shall be on your foreheads. There shall be no night there. Okay? They need no lamp, no light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Glory be to God. Who is that they? It is you. Hallelujah. You shall reign forever and ever. Why? Because you're seated on what? Those thrones that we saw in chapter 20. Glory be to God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60. Verse 1. Okay. Now, we are going to do a lot of repeating what we have already said and read elsewhere. Okay? Okay? Repetition is a way to retention. But also, we see that actually, the Old Testament saints, man, what John is saying, what Paul said, they were getting these things from what? The Old Testament scriptures. What John saw, okay? Some other guys had already seen. The Isaiahs, they had seen. Hallelujah. Okay? Even when you look at the writings of Paul, you just see this guy was a Jew, He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He had read them. So it is not like when he told us, don't steal. I mean, according to the law, it was there, don't steal. Do you understand? So you realize that you cannot actually, you can, but you might not really understand the New Testament well, okay, if you don't have what? Some understanding of the old. Because these guys were, everything they said, they were getting it from the what? From the old. Okay? Hallelujah. Okay? The rapture. People say that the rapture is not there in the Old Testament. Do you know that is a lie? The reason why they can't find it there is because of their timing of the rapture. Their rapture is supposed to happen before the tribulation. Now, they can't find it in the Old Testament. Because the ultimate saints were, the rapture and the dead rising is happening after the prince, that evil guy, has messed us up, has killed some of us. That is when our Messiah will come back. Do you understand? That is why they can't find the what? The rapture in the Old Testament, because their rapture is before, so that's why they can't what? Find it. But the rapture, which is after the tribulation, it is everywhere in the Old Testament. You understand? When he talks about rising of the dead and then the kingdom coming, that was the rapture. Hallelujah. So it is these Gentile Christians, especially Abazungu, who concocted their own things, man. And then we Africans who listen to them on TV, we think everything the Muzungu says is what? He messed us up. But I don't think there's a single Jew who has gotten born again, who believes that the rapture is before the what? Because according to their Isaiah, their Moses, their Ezekiel, it is so clear the rapture is after the tribulation. Now, Isaiah 60, verse 1. It says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." He says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." Okay? "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Question: when is this darkness? In verse 2. Because it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." Okay? Then it says after that, you know, "But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you." The darkness there is the period, okay, probably during the tribulation and the wrath of God that will be poured out after we have been raptured. Okay? Then afterwards, when we return with the Lord, okay, it says, "The Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Glory be to God. Because the Lord is going to wipe away that darkness. Okay? Then in verse 3, it says, "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." Okay? We saw that in Revelations. When kings are coming, bringing with them the glory and honor. Okay? The wealth. Okay? Okay? Verse 60. Let's read verse 11. Okay? It says, "Therefore, your gates shall be open continually." Do you remember reading that? Okay? Concerning the new? Yes. Okay? So, the Isaiah had seen this thing. Glory be to God. He says, "Therefore, your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession." You remember, that's what John saw. Okay? People bringing in the glory and the honor of the nations, okay, with their kings. And Isaiah had seen it, I don't know how many hundreds of years before. Hallelujah. There is no point on which the New Testament contradicts the Old. Remember these guys, when they got saved, the Pauls. Do you know that there was no letter of 1 Corinthians? There was no letter to the Galatians. You understand? What were guys reading? What made them strong in faith? The Old Testament. Those were the only what? Scripture. Okay? So, when they began to write letters, okay, they had to write something that doesn't contradict Scripture. Do you understand? So, what were they supposed to contradict? The Old Testament. Hallelujah. So, you'll find almost everywhere, the New Testament writings are simply a copy and paste of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. So he says, "Therefore your gates shall be open continually, that they shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the nations and their kings in procession." Hallelujah. Then he says, "For the nation and kingdom which shall not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly ruined." Okay? The nations which don't what? bring their glory and honor, which John saw in Revelation. It says they will perish. Okay? Because remember, they're going to be guys who are not saved. Rather, people who were not raptured, people who were born in those 1,000 years. Okay? People who get saved during that time, others don't even get saved. Hallelujah. And there will be a punishment if you don't what? If they don't bring tithe. Glory be to God. I'm joking, it's not tithe, but probably it is what? Included. Don't you think so? Do you think in those days God is going to eradicate tithe? Why would he? You understand? Why would he? Okay? Anyway, let's stick to this. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay? Then, verse 19, Isaiah 60, verse 19, it says, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for the brightness shall the moon give light to you. Does that sound familiar? John saw it. Okay? And he says, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Zechariah chapter 14. And just to warn you, we're going to read all of it because we are doing Bible study, and this is the last Bible study. Hallelujah. Zechariah 14, verse 1. It says, behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Okay? And your spoil will be divided in your midst. Okay? The day of the Lord, and there's going to be spoil. Eh? So which is this day? That day when we come back with him. Okay? Then we destroy the armies that come to fight against him. And there will be spoils. Do you understand? When you go into battle, okay, there are spoils. So this is what he's saying. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, okay, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I, God, will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Okay? The city shall be taken. Okay? Israel is going to lose Jerusalem. The houses rifled and the women ravished. Very sad. Eh? Half of the city shall go into captivity. Okay? By this time, by the way, we're in heaven. Eh? We're coming soon. Eh? All right? Then it says, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So half of the population of Jerusalem will take off, okay? And half of them will stay. Verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. When will that be? When we return with him. Glory be to God. Okay, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on Mount Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it towards the south. Then you, the Jews, who will be there. You shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. Who are all those saints that are coming with the Lord? You. From where? From heaven. As a bride. I remember your coming dressed in fine linen, clean and bright, riding white horses. Glory be to God. That is what John saw. Glory be to God. In Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Amen. And this thing's simple. You see, the New Testament has never contradicted the old. They mean to John be a lover. But not be what? The other what? Prophets, who had seen these things? Glory be to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Like when that young girl dreamt the number of years we have left, there was another prophet, Moses, who a week earlier, or in the same week, had also what? Dreamt this. Glory be to God. Amen. And I can tell you for the truth, we are here for a very short time. These things that we are reading now, you think they are what? For your great, great, you know. You remember, Peter said in the last days, scoffers will come saying, where is the coming of the Lord? Okay? The earth is still as it was. The fathers died, but you're into it. Jesus said, soon. Okay? But now, it is not soon. It is now. The Lord is coming in a matter of years. But before we are taken out, there is first a tribulation. Like we have learned. Alright? So, it says, thus the Lord my God will come and all the saints with you. It shall come to pass in that day that there will be no light. The lights will diminish. It shall be one day which is known to the Lord. Neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. Okay? That coming of the Lord. With us to fight the enemies of what? Israel. It says, it shall be one day which is known to the Lord. Probably, this is the day that the Lord said that no one knows. Anyway, let's leave that thing alone. Verse 8, and in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem. Sounds familiar? In the new heavens and the new earth. Glory be to God. From the throne of God in the spiritual Jerusalem and from the temple of God in the physical Jerusalem, which is Ezekiel. So it says that in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the Eastern Sea. The Eastern Sea is the Dead Sea. It is salty. There's nothing living in that sea. Ezekiel actually said that when the river flows, when the waters flow into that sea, everything in that sea will live. You understand? It will no longer be called the Dead Sea. It says people will go there fishing. Hallelujah. Alright? It says, half of them towards the Eastern Sea, and half of them towards the Western Sea. The Western Sea, if you're in Israel, it is the Mediterranean. Mediterranean Sea. Now, you remember, John said that there was no sea. But now, we're seeing two seas. That means that the sea he was talking about was symbolic. And we said what that meant. Verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. Glory be to God. In that day it shall be the Lord is one, and his name is what? Is one. Glory be to God. Let's jump to verse 16. Verse 16 says, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, you see, Not everyone is going to die in that war. Okay? So some people, you know, will remain alive. Eh? Okay? So those people shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Okay? Isn't this what Isaiah said? That the nations which don't serve you shall perish? Okay? This is what now Zechariah also was told by the Lord. Verse 18. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, okay, in Jerusalem, they shall have no rain. Okay? God will still be tough. Jesus will still be what? Tough. Glory be to God. He won't be this just smiling at everything. No, no, no. He will, okay? They will have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the feast of tabernacles. All right? And remember, they are going with the glory and the honor of the nations, the kings leading the way. Hallelujah. Verse 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations, Uganda, that do not come up to keep the feast of tabernacles. Glory be to God. I'm just trying to show you that these prophets didn't contradict each other. All right? And what they saw, it is exactly what the New Testament prophets also saw. Hallelujah. Amen? Are you getting blessed? Or some is like, but we're reading too much. The scriptures are so what? Many. Isaiah 65, this is the last Bible study. Eschatology. We don't know when God will get us to study this again. And so we have to maximize this moment. Isaiah 65, okay, talking about the millennium, how life is going to be. Isaiah 65 from verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. Was John the first to know about the new heavens and the new earth? He was not. Isaiah had seen it hundreds of years before, even before Jesus came. Hallelujah. So when Peter, in 2 Peter 3, talked about the new heavens and the new earth, okay, which come as a result of the renovation by fire, okay, he knew the Jewish scriptures. Peter had read this. Alright? So he says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former thing shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Okay? That was said in Revelation 21. Eh? I don't know if we read it, but I think it was verse 3. Eh? Okay? No pain, no crying, no sorrow. Okay? Verse 20. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled these days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses. In the millennium, houses are going to be built. Glory be to God. So, construction companies are going to exist. And they're not going to be doing this work for free. They have to be paid. And where will they learn construction from? Where will they learn how to build houses from. There will be schools. Glory be to God. Who will teach the teachers? You understand? Okay. New heaven and a new earth, but stuff will continue, but with a new heaven and a new earth, new Jerusalem, the curse taken away. Okay? They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And of course, the excess fruit, they will sell it. And they will give away soon, some. All right? They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Glory be to God. You might not enjoy the work of your hands now, but in those days, when the curse is taken away, and especially for you who will have a glorified body, you understand? It says, you will enjoy the work of your hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. Okay, those who are able to bring forth children in those days. Okay? You who are going to be raptured, you're going to be given a new body. You go to heaven for some time. Okay? And Jesus said that in heaven, there's no marriage. You're like angels. Okay? That means that Sam and Joan, if you don't get your kids now, you understand? You, in the whatever, in the new heaven and new earth, no more kids. Hallelujah. So this verse is not talking about you. Which says that no bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be descendants of the Lord, blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Glory be to God. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. Probably it's because the Lord will be so near, you understand? He will be here on the earth. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. Hallelujah. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And that shall be the serpent's foot. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Glory be to God. But Sam, don't forget the streets of God. Glory be to God. A new Jerusalem. The Jerusalem from above. Glory be to God. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. This little child might be 50 years. Remember in those days, you die 100, the child has died. So now, a little child of 50 years, glory be to God, shall lead them. But also, a little child of 4 years, it applies. Hallelujah. These are going to be wonderful days. Make sure, man, you don't fall away from the Lord. Glory be to God. Okay? Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Okay? No animal will be eating another animal. Glory be to God. Animals are going to be herbivorous, you understand? Eating, vegan, no eating animals. Glory be to God. That's why a lion and a cow will be playing together. Glory be to God. Eating, you know, eating what? Eating straw, like the ox, they will share. Okay? As a 4-year-old and a 50-year-old child, watch over them. Glory be to God. The nursing child, now this is nursing, this one is 2 years. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Okay? Nursing child, put your hole in there. You know, can't be hurt, a snake can't bite you. In those days, you know, new heavens, new earth. Jesus on the earth reigning, and us reigning with him. Okay? The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Glory be to God. Can you imagine these days? I mean, they're going to be glorious days. Hallelujah. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Second last reading. Revelation chapter 20. Okay, so we have finished the millennium. 1,000 years. Now, we want to see what is going to happen after the 1,000 years. Alright? So, Revelation chapter 20 from verse 7. Alright? From verse 7. It says, now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. You remember he is in the bottomless pit. Eh? And will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. So this is another battle altogether. Okay? The first one, we came with the Lord. Eh? Okay? Now this is another one. 1,000 years plus a few years. Eh? Because remember, 1,000 years elapsed, then he's released for a short time. Eh? How short that time is, I don't know. Okay? Then, those people whom the devil has mobilized, in verse 9 it says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints. Okay? And the beloved city. Okay? That's where you are, eh? In the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Okay? The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. They went there 1,000 years ago. Hmm? 1,000 years ago, eh? Then after that, the devil joins them. And it says, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Glory be to God. Verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Okay? So this is another judgment day. Eh? Or another judgment. Okay? For us, me and Teddy, we are going to be raptured. Okay? We studied in the first Bible study on eschatology that when we are raptured, we are going to be rewarded for our works. Okay? And that is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is talking about, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the thing done in the flesh, whether good or bad. Okay? So while we're there, we receive rewards, and then there's a marriage supper that happens, and then we come back on white horses, dressed in white. okay, to fight. Yeah? Fighting dressed in white, on white horses. Okay? So, this is not talking about us, eh? This judgment here. Okay? And remember the people who were raptured, eh? Okay, were the dead in Christ, remember? They rise first, and then we who are alive and remain are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Eh? Okay? The dead in Christ. So that means that those who are not dead in Christ, okay, are still there. Okay? So when do they rise again for judgment? Okay? To be sent to hell. It is here. Many years later, 1,000 years later. Okay? And included in these people are those who died in the millennium. You understand? Eh? Because remember, there will be someone, a kid, who will die at 100. Okay? There will be an old man who will die at 950 years. Alright? Then there will be those guys, the devil, after he's released for a short time, who he will deceive. Eh? And they die in the, you know, when the fire of God comes down upon them. Eh? Okay, so they are going to be, then there will be those who in the millennium, they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they did not, anyway, and they died within the 1,000 years. You understand? Eh? Okay, so that is a group that is coming here. Okay, that is facing this judgment. Eh? Okay, so he says in verse 11, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book. Okay? And that other book is the book of life. Okay? The other books, what do they contain? They contain their works. Okay? Even those who are going to hell, their evil works are what? Are written. So some guys are going to experience more fire than others. There are degrees of fire in hell. Eh? Just like in heaven, there are different degrees of glory. You're all in heaven, but some are closer to the throne. Eh? Some are far away from the throne. So even in hell, eh? Okay, there are some guys who are very, very evil. You understand? Eh? So their books are going to be opened, very, very evil. You know, eh? You go to the very, very what? Terrible place. Then there were those who are not evil. You know, just confusing a few camper sticks. Okay? They're not saved. They confuse camper sticks, Bambi, but they give money to a beggar. You understand, eh? They send money to their mother in Rukunjiri. You understand? Eh? But they played Unira money, gave some to campus sticks, okay, and sent some to mommy in Rukunjiri. Do you understand? They're all going to hell. Eh? Okay? But degrees, different degrees of glory, in quotes. All right? So, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, you know, delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Glory be to God. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, we're talking about what is happening after the millennium. Okay, it is the final judgment day. Hallelujah. All right? But you and I, if we stay in Christ, if we live godly lives, righteous lives, we don't have to worry about what? About this event. Hallelujah. Okay? 1 Corinthians. Now this is the last. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What happens after the millennium? Okay? By the way, very little is said about what happens after the millennium. Okay? Very almost nothing. Now you see, it just tells us that there's going to be what? The final judgment. Okay? And the devil is thrown into the lake of fire. You understand? But we don't exactly know. You know, I guess that will, anyway, very little is said about that. I don't know why. You guys who visit what? Heaven, the Joans, you should ask the Lord. But he might tell you, you first, what? You first know what is going to happen in the what? Millennium. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians 15, I told you this is the last scripture. 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 22. Okay, what happens after the millennium? Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Okay, those who are in Christ shall be made alive. Okay, and the first group to be made alive, it is at the rapture. You remember? Yeah, those who are dead in Christ shall arise faster. Okay? "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming." The rapture. At his coming, we are raptured. "Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." Which rule and authority is this that he puts an end to? Remember, at the end of 1,000 years, the devil is released for a short time, okay? And then sent to hell. Okay? His rule, everything about him is put to an end. Glory be to God. Okay? So verse 24 says, "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority." Okay? At the end of the millennium, and at the after, the devil is cast into hell, okay? And the judgment seat, the judgment has happened, that we read in where? Revelations 20, okay? Then, you remember, Jesus is king over the kingdom on earth. So the Bible says that at that time, he will deliver the kingdom to God the Father. Okay? What is happening after the millennium? Jesus will deliver the kingdom, okay, to his Father, our Father, God. Okay? When he has put an end to all rule and authority and power. Verse 25, "He must reign." Okay? Remember, it is 1,000 years of reign. So he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Okay? All enemies, the devil, and those who he will deceive when he released for a short time, and all those who don't like him, even in the millennium. Okay? He must reign till he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Of course, we know Satan is the cause of what? Of death. Okay? And even then, after the judgment, after that's the judgment that he read, there will be no more death. You understand? It will be the final. Okay? Verse 27, "For he has put all things under his feet." But when he says all things are put under his feet, it is evident that he who put all things under his feet is accepted. That is God. God is accepted. He's not under the feet of Jesus. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Glory be to God. Okay? Those are some of the very few things that are said concerning what happens after the 1,000 years. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen? But, of course, that period is going to be forever and ever and ever. There will never be a devil. There will never be evil. As in, forever and ever, only righteousness, only God, you know. So if you think the millennium is going to be good, okay, now what's going to happen after that? You understand? It's going to be superb, okay? When Jesus will even hand over, you know, the kingdom, okay, to God the Father. After all evil has been dealt with. You understand? It will be forever. And meanwhile, for us it is forever and forever good, but some people are in hell. Two places people are going to be in at that time. Okay? Some will be with God forever and ever. Others will be burning forever and ever. Glory be to God. And so, we have to make sure, okay, we have to endeavor by the grace of God to make sure we enter the kingdom. Because if you enter the kingdom, okay, then what happens after the kingdom is guaranteed. Because you can never sin when you enter the kingdom. You can never sin again. You understand? You have a great fire. You can never sin again. So you will forever and ever be with the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. So Father, may you help us to live to see these glorious days. Give us the grace to go through the trials and the temptations that we are encountering now. Help us to be ready for your coming when you take us to be with you in heaven, so that we may return to reign with you for 1,000 years and to live with you forever and ever. Help us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God.